And I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Amen. Thankful for each of you that are here tonight. And I know that God is blessing. I feel His presence. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Somebody said amen when you get there. All right. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. We'll wait. Praise God. Amen. That's in your Bible. Anybody got a Bible tonight? All right, see lots of Bibles here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happeneth to them all. And then I want to read verse 10, the verse right before that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Praise God. I want to, if I could put a title on this tonight, I would just like to preach for just a little bit. I don't plan to preach a long time, but I felt this morning, and I want to preach about be a success in your world. Be a success in your world. Amen. I think it's very, very important that we understand this and that we get a hold of God's will for our life, and that wherever we are, we can do the work of God, and we can do the will of God, and we can do the plan of God. Amen. We just have to look at it the right way. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your hand that's upon this service. We ask you to anoint the word of God and to speak to us. We give you honor. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. I believe that to get the full meaning of this message tonight, when I want to talk about being a success in your world, I want to just talk a little bit. I need to see what my world is. Amen. What is my world? And how can I be successful in my world? Are we talking about that big world that's out there? Are we talking about some other part of the world? Or what are we talking about when we talk about our world? My world is not something that I choose, and I'm gonna clarify this here, so just hang with me. My world is the family that I'm a part of. My world is the place where I go to work. Amen. My world is the residence where I live. It is the car that I drive and the money that I have. It is my gender and my spirit. It is the way I am and who I am. And in reality, I don't get to choose my world, but I do get to choose what I'm going to do in my world. Amen. And the wise man said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Well, praise God. The battle is not to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men to skill or of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And this wise man Solomon that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he came to this understanding that everything that he had was a gift from God. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Everything you have is a gift from God. And some we choose to say is bad, and some we choose to say is good, but it all comes from God. All good things come from God. And it was the time and chance that happens to all men, some were destined by time and chance to be millionaires. Others by time and chance were to be poor. Jesus said, "The poor you have with you always." And he recognized that fact. Some will have education and others will not. Some will be healthy and others will be disposed to sickness. Some will be intelligent, and others will struggle with book learning. Amen. But whatever the case is, that's your world tonight. That's where you are. That's who you are. And that's the place that you have found yourself. Now, I hope you all will help me here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible brings this out. And it says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" And so we understand tonight that whatever we have has been given to us. Everything has been given to us. I'm not standing here tonight saying I'm a smart person, but I have enough intelligence. It was taught to me. Somebody gave that to me when I went to school as a boy. And I learned some things that I didn't know. If I were not raised in that family or in that community, things could be completely, totally different in my life. If I were raised in another country, it could have been totally, completely different. And what we need to see is that everything we have makes up the world that we call my world. Amen. Somebody said my world. And examples abound of this. I could use different stories from the Word of God, and we could see here that my world is being ridiculed by my brothers and being carried away to a faraway land in shackles and chains. That would be Joseph saying, "This is my world." Amen. My world is being a common fisherman with little formal education and being ignorant and unlearned. And my world is possibly being a shepherd boy and facing bears and lions that desire to destroy my father's sheep. That would be David saying, "This is my world. This is where I live. This is what I have to work with." My world is being called of God to build a ship rather than to build a business and to prosper in this life. My world is leaving everything behind after gaining wealth in the land of my nativity, and that would be the call of God upon Abram's life. My world was being born on a stretcher with palsy. Amen. My world is being a rich young ruler. My world is being the ruler of the world and being spoken of as this head of gold. My world is being a peasant girl of a Syrian master far from her home. My world is being a slave to an unfair master, or on the other hand, to one of understanding. Amen. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about my world. Amen. When you talk about your world, that's what we're talking about here tonight. My world, because it's my world, does not mean that it is fair, nor is it just. And yet still, it's my world. Amen. My world is where I live on a day-to-day basis. And my world is time and chance decided that my parents would be gone at a young age of 17 years old. And my world, this is my world, made it so that most of my family never called or helped, save a sister who had a little bed, a single-size bed, twin size, that's the smallest one, isn't it? A twin-size bed at 6 foot 4 inches tall, in the corner of the living room, and that was the help that I got in starting out in life. Amen. My world is something that doesn't necessarily mean that it is fair and that it is just and that everything is going to go exactly right. Amen. But it's my world, and that's all I have to work with is my world. And I, like others, could have become bitter with my world, but I chose to be a blessing to my world and to make the most of what God had given to me. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. You know, I've only got one choice about my world, and you've only got one choice about your world. And I can be happy with it until something better comes along, or I can waste the precious moments trying to build another world for myself that I've got no power to build, because it is God that sets up and puts down. God sets up and God puts down. It is God who prospers. It is the Lord who gives and the Lord who takes away. Amen. What we must do in our world is to strive to be the very best that we can and somehow do the will of God in my world. Amen. In other words, I can be a success in my world. Young people, you can be a success in your world if you'll put your mind to it. I said you can be a success in your world if you'll put your mind to it. Amen. Some look at a CEO and say it's not fair that they're a CEO and they're doing so well. Oh, I'm telling you what, tonight, you may not be the president, you might not be the CEO of a company, but I'm telling you who you are tonight, Mom and Dad, you're the CEO of your family. Well, praise God. You are the president. Amen. You have been given a world to manage. Amen. You have been given a world to preside over. If you have a school to go to, amen, you are the president, so to speak, of your life. And you can choose what you want to do with your future. You can choose to do what you want to with your world. Amen. And sometimes the world doesn't seem very fair, but that doesn't mean that you can't be successful in your world. If you make $30 a week, what you do with it is important. Amen. It's important what you do with that $30, Mr. CEO. We've got this false idea that people who have lots of money just go around spending money wildly, and they have no discipline, self-discipline, or anything like that. But I'm telling you tonight that they take care of their money just as much as somebody who is watching their P's and Q's by the check they get every week. There's no difference. Amen. One puts their shoes on the same way as the other. One was born into this world the same way as the other. And one is going to leave this world the same as the other. Amen. What we must do is learn to be a success in my world. Amen. In my world. Praise God. And if you are ruler over a desk at work, then you are the controlling force that goes on, that chooses what goes on in that cubicle. Amen. Be a success at your desk. Amen. Be a success at your job. Be a success in your home. And strive to do the very best that you can. Amen. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, Jesus spoke of this. Amen. I hope you're listening here tonight. Luke 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust or unfaithful in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that would be the things of this world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the things of this world. And so he gives us a principle here. Amen. He gives us a principle that it is called faithfulness. Everybody said faithfulness. Faithfulness. He that is faithful in that which is least. We just read it. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Amen. I look at things wherever I go, and I try to be perceptive of the world around me. And there have been a few places that I have gone. I went to a place the other day. I won't say where it is. It was somewhere in Wichita, and I had to buy something. And when I walked into the place, I could tell that it had been in business for a long time, because there were papers stacked up kind of everywhere in corners, and desks were covered with all sorts of things, and the people behind the desk, one individual was sitting behind the desk, and he was just sitting there staring off into space, and he got up real slow, walked into the other room, came back in, sat down, and leaned back in his chair and stared back off into space again. Praise God. I look at things. And the man that was helping me hadn't combed his hair that morning. And they did me good. They really did. And I thought, oh my, these people are ready for retirement. Amen. In fact, I think they've already retired. And I'm going to get myself laughing here tonight thinking about this. But then out of nowhere, there comes another man. And he was probably the same age as the other men. And his hair was combed neatly. His shirt was pressed. His pants were pressed. And he was helping a couple of guys that came in. And he started asking them questions. You need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. And when they told him what they needed and he got the order, I watched him as he went into the back room. There was a window in the door, and I watched. He was at a full run. He was running to go get the parts for these men so they wouldn't have to wait very long. Well, all the other ones just shuffled their feet, and their shoulders were down, and they didn't seem to really be too enthused about their job. And I thought to myself, now, if I was an employer and I was looking for someone to work in my company, I know what I would do. Amen. I would go to other companies that are similar to mine, and I would go in and buy something. Amen. I'd go in several times, and I would watch the employees and see how they acted. And the ones that had the enthusiasm and the desire to make their world the very best they could be, I would offer them a job. Amen. Because if I had a company, I would want people like that working for me. Amen. I wouldn't want someone that just dragged through the day every day, marking time, waiting to punch out that day, but someone who took their life enthusiastically, amen, and was faithful in everything that they did. Amen. And the man that helped me was good. He really was, and he went out of his way and all of that. But there was a marked difference in the attitude. Amen. Folks, there are going to be two things that are going to happen to each and every one of us. Amen. If you're listening here tonight, I hope this will get a hold of you. Two things are going to happen to everybody here tonight. One is time, and the other is chance. One is time and the other is chance. God has put us in the environment of time. Amen. Time and chance happeneth to all men. Amen. And it may seem out of control sometimes, and it does to us sometimes, but there's one that we are serving tonight that spoke time into existence. Amen. And the one that we serve tonight, who is not controlled by chance and by time, amen. What this will do is give us an understanding of what the will of God is for our life. Praise God. Whatever my life is, if I'm a soldier, Luke 3:14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Praise God. He understood that they didn't get paid very much, but it was time and chance that they got a lottery in the mail, and they said, "Sign up, you're going to be a soldier." Amen. That's the way it used to be here in America, and that's what they did in World War II and World War I. It was just in Richard Nixon's time that they had an all-volunteer army, which has stood even to this day today. And he said, "Be content with your wages." Amen. In other words, do the very best with what you've got. Praise God. Do the very best in your world that you can do. Philippians 4:11 tonight. Keep your Bibles out. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Amen. 1 Timothy 6:8. "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content," or "be therewith content." Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. Praise God. So he said, don't live your life by covetousness. Excuse me. Covetousness, or to covet. The Bible says, do not covet your neighbor's goods. Do not covet. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Why did he say that? He said that because covetousness is the result of discontentment. Covetousness is trying to build your own world. Amen. If I get this, I'm going to be happy. If I can steal this, I'm going to be happy. If I can gain this by by this particular means here, then I can be happy. Amen. And when I'm happy, then I'm content. And he said, don't live your life based on covetousness. Praise God. The wise man summed it up this way in Ecclesiastes 9:10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Amen. And so, whatever we find with our hand to do, amen. It may seem unimportant. It may not seem like it's that big of a deal, but it's your world. Amen. It's my world. And so I have to do the very best with what I have to work with. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 12, he summed it up here. In verses 13 and 14, the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Amen. And so the wise man said, here is the whole duty of man. Praise God. And if I could just drop this into your heart tonight, basically what he's saying is be a success in your world. Do the very best with what you have to work with. Amen. Don't desire to have somebody else's paycheck. Amen. Not to the point where evil comes into your heart. Amen. We can strive for that, and we can strive to be the very best that we can, but time and chance happens to every man. Amen. We are subject to time. Amen. We are subject to chance. God made it that way to see how we would work and how we would react in our world. Amen. I'm thankful God created me and brought me into this world. I'm thankful I live in America. But what they tell me is on the other shores of this world where they don't have a tenth of what we have, that when those people come to God, they're the happiest people you'll ever want to be around. They worry about the food that they're going to eat on a daily basis, but they are so thrilled to have God in their lives. And you know what I say? Give me that spirit in my heart as well. Amen. But we get discouraged and we get down about things that don't go right, or at least go right the way we want them to go right. Amen. But if we desire to choose our own world, or we desire to choose somebody else's world, amen, then we're always going to end up disappointed, because it ends up being what the Bible calls envy, jealousy, and such like. Amen. And it leads to evil intentions. Praise God. When I desire a candy land of great things all the time, then I begin to live in a dream world of self. Amen. That's where we're at in our generation today. A dream world. Amen. Thinking that something better is going to come along. Amen. Finding an article about something and saying, I wished I had that, or I wished I had this. I'll tell you what, friend, I just want to serve God and do the very best for God that I can do in my life. Do you feel that way tonight? Praise God. It's time to get up and start dusting your world. Amen. It's time to get up and clean your world. Amen. It's time to get up and do something with what God has given to you. It's time to be a blessing to your world. Amen. And it may not seem like much, but I'll tell you, it can become something fantastic. Amen. Start being the very best CEO in your house. Be the best manager in your house. Be the best worker in your house. Praise God. Be the best follower in your house, if that's where you're at. Praise God. Somebody pray for me here tonight. Amen. Just having a hard time with my voice. Amen. But what we need to do is learn to be content. Is anybody here tonight? Two or three. All right. Whew. Thought I was preaching to nobody here tonight. Amen. Some people look at what they've got and they say all it is a staff in my hand. But it can become a rod of God. Amen. If you'll take care of it until God calls it. All you might have in your hand is a sling and a stone. And you can become proficient at it, and nobody knows that you're good at it until God calls you and says, go use it to kill that giant. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. A little story here about Elisha the prophet. And he was passing by a place called Shunem. And there was a great woman. The Bible calls her great. I think it was just because of her attitude and her spirit. And she constrained him to eat bread. Amen. She lived in this house. It was a small house. It was just big enough for her and her husband. Didn't have any children. And to not have children in that particular time was frowned upon, but that was her world. Amen. She couldn't have children, and it was her world. She lived in a little house. She didn't have any room for a guest to come by, but she had bread. She had a little bit of bread, and when the man of God came by, she constrained him. She said, won't you please come and have a little bread upon your journey here. And so he would stop, and on the way by, going the other direction, she would constrain him again. And then she got this idea. She said to her husband, let us make a little chamber or a little room, a little bedroom. And she said, let's do it here on the wall. and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, so that when he comes to us, he can turn in thither. And so they did. They spent a little bit of time. I don't know where they got the money for this project. I don't know where they got the expertise to build this room, but somehow or another, they got the materials together, and they built a little room on the wall, probably a second-story room, and they made it for the prophet, for the man of God. And he called her after he realized what she had done, and she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And what he was literally saying was, "I've got connections. And if you need something, I can talk to the king about it. We'll get this taken care of. Because, you know, I'm going to give you a favor back for what you've done for me. And do you want me to speak to the captain of the host? Is there someone that owes you money that the captain of the host needs to go to their home and get the money and bring it to you? Whatever it is that you need, lady, you just tell me what you want and I'll get it for you." I wonder tonight if the Lord were to ask each and every one of us, "What do you want?" "Whatever you want, I will get it for you." What would be your answer? Would it be, well, there's a thousand different answers that we could make. And for her, she could have said, "I'd like to have a child." Or she could have said, "We'd like to have more money in the house. Her husband was old. We'd like to have some financial help the rest of our life. That would be great." She could probably think of a whole lot of things. But her answer to me tells me that this woman was a grand success. Amen. A success while kings were failing. This woman became a success. She didn't have to change the world. All she had to do was bless her world. Amen. And he said, "You've been careful. What is to be done for you?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." Praise God. That was her answer. That's all she said. She said, "I'm happy where I'm at. I'm content where I'm at. I'm successful where I'm at. I'm not really looking to become the king's second person. I'm not looking to become something that God has not called me to become." Amen. There's a place for everybody in this world. But I'm telling you, what we've got to do is learn to be happy with the place that God has put us. Somebody said amen. Amen. And so she didn't ask for anything. And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi, this was the assistant to the prophet, he said, "She has no child and her husband is old." And he called her, and when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son, and at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Do you see how God elevates us? God elevates us after we are content with what we have. The blessings come after faithfulness, not before faithfulness. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. And so we have to be faithful in that which is least before we can be elevated to that which is much. Amen. Are we listening here tonight? Young people, are you listening to the pastor here tonight? Amen. This is a principle of life. Amen. It is a principle of life to do the very best with what you have. Amen. And to be a success in your world. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at another one here. That's a woman that was up in age. Let's go to a young boy here. Can we do that? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. Now, I'll tell you what I'm looking at here tonight. I'm looking at the possibility of greatness sitting right here on the first two rows. I'm looking at the potential for greatness, but you've got to understand where greatness comes from. And you've got to understand, I'm looking at potential greatness here in this church. Amen. But we have to understand that what God has given us is what we have to work with and what we need to be thankful for. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, everybody said, God said, ask what I shall give thee. There it is again. What do you want? In the nighttime, he had a dream, and God said, tell me what you want. Gavin, tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. Amen. Isaac, just tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. Amen. And we expect the little ones to say, well, I sure would like that Hot Wheels I saw at the toy store. Or I would like to have the newest video game. Or I would like this or that or the other. But there was something in the heart of this young man that probably had been installed in him by his father David. Amen. That said, you know what? This is an opportunity of my lifetime. It's an opportunity. Praise God. Do you look at your job as an opportunity? Or is it just a place to make a few bucks? Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, if you'll look at what your world is and look at it as an opportunity, then and only then can God elevate you to a higher place. Praise God. You don't get hired into higher positions of life until you have experience. And you can't get experience until you're faithful. Amen. Until you're faithful on your job and faithful at whatever it is that you're doing. And he said, ask what I shall give thee. And here's what Solomon said. Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. He was, if you could just think about this here tonight, Solomon could be a very, very bitter man. Do you know why? Because, yes, he was the son of the king, but Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. And Bathsheba and David did some things that were not right. It was a sin before God. And the child died. But not only did that happen, but he literally had his grandfather or his, well, let's see, his, no, yes, it would be his grandfather, which was one of the advisors to David, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Amen. And Bathsheba's grandfather saw what David had done to his granddaughter. And Ahithophel was his name. And David said, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And Ahithophel eventually killed himself, committed suicide because of the situation. And Solomon could look back at his father David and the mistakes and the failures and the sins of his own father. And yet Solomon looked at his world and he said, Lord, you have showed great mercy to my father. And he began to brag on his father. I look at this and I think in my heart, how could somebody brag on someone like that when they had done such terrible, terrible things? He has walked in before thee in truth. Speaking of his father David, you've shown him mercy as he walked in truth and as he walked in righteousness and upright of heart. Amen. I think of the same thing of David. You know, what you do with your world is very important. I remember that in David's life, it was Saul that chased him. And much of David's life was running for his life. And Saul had men out to get him and to kill him. But when Saul was eventually killed, you go to the book of Psalms and you read the song that David sang about Saul. He had nothing bad to say about him. You know what? David understood time and chance happens to all men. It doesn't mean that it's going to be fair. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be just. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be right. This is my world, and I'm going to bless my world. And so he said, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Here's what he wants. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Praise God. And the Bible says the speech pleased the Lord. And the Lord said, "You didn't ask for silver and gold. I'm going to give it to you. You didn't ask for wealth and fame. I'm going to give it to you. You didn't ask for blessings. I'm going to give it to you. But I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm going to make you the wisest man that ever lived on the face of this earth." And the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Song of Solomon were all written by David, or by Solomon, rather. And he could, according to the old sages, that Solomon could quote the entire book of Proverbs from the wisdom that was down inside of him. What would you like if God were to say something to you tonight like that? What would you want? What would you ask God for? I'll tell you what a wise man would say: "God, give me wisdom and understanding to deal with my world." Praise God. Because in your world, people are going to rise up against you out of nowhere. Because in your world, all of a sudden, things that are seemingly solid, all of a sudden, they're torn out from underneath your feet, and you don't know what to do. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll be faithful in your world, if you'll be faithful in your world, and you'll bless the Lord, and you'll give God praise in everything, you can be a success in your world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. I love this chorus that we're going to sing here tonight. I just want to bless the Lord at all times. I want His praises to be continually in my mouth. Because I have a world. Garrett, you have a world. Tessa, it's your world. Elizabeth, it's your world. Nathan, it's your world. Nobody's going to make it for you. You've got to make it for yourself. It's your world, Hunter. It's your world, Gavin. I could go through every one of us here tonight. Discontentment, unhappiness is because we want to build our own world. We want to make it a perfect world. And all it leads to is frustration and disappointments. Frustration and heartache. Amen. But if we'll just learn to bless the Lord at all times and to give God praise for all of His goodness. Has God been good to you? I know we say that a lot, but God has been good to us. God's been good to me. He's blessed me richly. Amen. And I want to praise Him and I want to thank Him.